Yes, hello once again, and welcome to the Daily Inspiration, the Ministry of Fountain of Life. And we are still going through the book of Proverbs, and I hope that you're able to take a look at the other scriptures, as we're not able to read all of them, obviously, as we go through each day here. But I would encourage you again, take a Bible and go to the Proverbs, and if you would read those and ask God to give you insight and direction, I believe firmly that He will do just that. And I trust that as we read some of these together, that God will inspire your heart and touch you in a way that is life-giving and that is bread for the hungry soul. That is what the Word of God is to us. And I want to encourage you to fill yourself full with God's Word. You will not ever be sorry for that. I remember a story about someone who had ended up, they ended up in prison, and this person had no Bible, there was nothing. Everything he owned personally was taken away from him, and so the only Bible that he had was what he had memorized, and the little bits here and there that he knew from his childhood on up. And so he also found another person in prison that knew some other scriptures, and between the two of them they were able to feast once again on God's Word. Not complete, obviously, but at least they had some that was hidden in their hearts, and they were so happy and so rejoicing that they could remember scripture and they recalled it, and it was encouraging to them as they were sitting in prison just rotting away. And God gave them a remembrance of His Word. And so sometimes we take for granted some things until we don't have it, and then we really miss it. And so I want to encourage you today, hide God's Word in your heart. David, in the book of Psalms, he talks about, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so I want to be able to take advantage of the great treasure we have in God's Word. There's so many people in this world that don't have these words in their language, and what a blessing it is for us to be able to take a Bible and to read freely. I thank God for that, and I hope that you also are taking advantage of the fact that you can read your Bible anytime that you desire. It's not illegal for us to do. It's not been taken away from us, and we need to take advantage of that and give God thanks for that. So, anyways, with that, I want to continue in the Proverbs, and I kind of got a little hung up here in Proverbs 20. I just feel like maybe we should take a look at something still here. I'm going to read to you verse 9 again. We've read this already, but I just briefly went over it, and I wanted to come back to it because I believe there's some things here that we need to examine here together as we study this out. Verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" Now, I want you to think about that a moment. Who can say that I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Now, I want to, as you're thinking about that, I want to turn to another passage of Scripture. I want to read to you from Hebrews, because we're given a very good teaching here, and it's good for us to look at these things and see that God had a purpose and a plan for all things to work out together in this way. And what we're going to be talking about is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. It'd be the Old Testament and the New Testament, and why the things were set up in the Old and were fulfilled in the New, how God did that. And it's very simple in a lot of ways, but there was many, many things that the Hebrew children were instructed to do. And the whole reason for it was to usher in Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. And I just want to read a little bit here in Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll just kind of go through this a little bit. And he's talking about the Old and the New Covenant. And he says, "Then Verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but anyways, God had Moses take a pattern that he had given to him. He wanted to make a tabernacle and a sanctuary exactly to his description. And there was the outer court, and then there was the holy place inside, and then there was a veil there, and then the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all, was back behind that veil. And we'll continue to read on. There's a purpose for all of this that God had instructed for the construction of this ark, this sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And you remember that inside this Ark of the Covenant, these things were inside there. There was a gold vessel that had the manna in it, and there was Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, or in other words, the Ten Commandments, were written out there. And that was inside this Ark of the Covenant, this box that was inside the Holy of Holies. And now verse 5, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we now cannot speak particularly. Now, I'll just briefly touch on that. The mercy seat was on the Ark of the Covenant. There was cherubim that were facing each other, and their wings were stretched out over the mercy seat, almost touching each other there, the tip of the wings, two cherubims. And underneath their wings was that mercy seat. And that mercy seat is a very, very blessed thing for you and I, and for all people in all the world, because that is where we meet with God in our sin. And God has a purpose for all that through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We talked about there in Proverbs about who is it that can be cleansed and can say, I'm pure here. Okay, there is one way to do that. Okay, he's describing that. And now verse 6, he says, And when these things were thus outlined, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So here was the priest. He was going through the motions. He was doing what God told him to do. But he had to also offer sacrifice for his own sin and go into the Holy of All and ask God's forgiveness for the whole nation of Israel. And so we're looking at a priest here that has to go in once a year and have the atonement for the sin of the whole nation. Okay, verse 10, which it stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Or if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrificeth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now I want to just stop there for a moment. God had set up for the people that the blood sacrifice could cover for their sin. But we see here that the conscience could not be taken care of. And I believe we've talked about this before here. Our conscience is still with us. And back then when they would offer for their sins, it would take care of the sin that it would, like I say, it would cover. And God was pleased with the sacrifice, but the conscience of a man was still in the back of his mind. He still knows, I've erred and sinned against God. And now we have a better covenant. Jesus Christ, he is the spotless lamb. He was the priest that could offer once and for all the sacrifice for you and me and for all the sins of anybody. And we could have our conscience cleared. This is the first time. Our conscience could be cleared because of our Savior and what he did for us. Now I'm going to continue reading here. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, and water, and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels in the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And this is the key here. Here is, it's an example, it's a type and shadow of what is going to come. God is going to send his Son into the world to die for our sins. He's the high priest. He's going to go offer his own blood right there before the mercy seat in the holiest of holies, not in the physical temple, but in the spiritual realm. Jesus did that. He offered once for all, and his blood purgeth from all sin. And it says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's an important thing for us, because we can't just cleanse ourselves just because we want to be clean. We can't purify ourselves just because we feel like we want to be purified. It has to be shedding of blood for the remission of sins, the taking away of sins. The good news for you and I is that God provided for us the sacrifice. We didn't have anything that was good enough to take away our own sins. It's impossible for us, but he made a way through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know that this story is probably very familiar for most of you, but I just want to encourage you today, come to Jesus Christ to wash away your sin. He is there and willing and able to take our foul, wretched sins and to cleanse us from those and make us to be spotless before the Lord God himself. Now, the only way we can do that is by the blood of Christ. And maybe you know that already, but if you have been struggling with this, if you have been weighed down with sin, I want you to be able to take a moment with God and ask him to purge you and cleanse you by the blood of Jesus. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. And hopefully all of you that are listening today have already done that. And you can pray for others that you know that have not had their sins cleansed. And we can pray together for for this lost world around us, that they might see Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the pure, spotless Lamb of God, who died for you and for me. Let's give God thanks for that, and let's express to Him our thanksgiving and our gratefulness by a life of obedience to Him, through Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you today.